Have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the Gospel of St. Matthew. I'm going to have a short sermon here to highlight this occasion. The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Hey, if you are in need of a Bible, the ushers are already up. If you need a Bible, they'll get one to you. You may be using a smartphone, an iPad, or something like that. However you access the Word of God, I do ask you, invite you to turn there with me. And I'm also going to invite you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. So if you have that, Matthew 18 and 1, I'm going to ask you to stand along with me. And that way, if I get in trouble, you can take over the sermon. Amen? Okay, everybody, that was a joke. You don't, y'all don't have to be so serious. All right, y'all be so serious. But in here we find a great demonstration of Christian character as provided by our Lord and Savior. Amen? Now, I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. You may have a different translation of the Bible in your hand or on your phone, but I ask that you follow along. And I'm just going to read the first five verses. Amen? If you're at verse 1, you'll see these words. It says, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of all of them and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" And verse 5, the concluding verse, said, "Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Amen. This morning, I want to talk about childish versus childlike behavior. Amen. Childish versus childlike behavior. Father, in the name of Jesus, send the Word of God fresh from the throne of God's grace. Let it come down throughout time and throughout space. And let it enter into the atmosphere in which we now dwell. And cause the Word of God to come forth as an arrow. And let it find a place in our heart, piercing through all of our problems, all of our issues, and coming into our heart, the ground of God, the ground where the seed is sown. And Father, I pray to you as the master sower, that you would cause your seed to find good ground. And let it spring up not only into good life, but let it spring up into everlasting life, that the hearer may be changed and transformed by the very words of God. This we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Amen again. You may be seated all over the house. Childish and childlike both refer to characteristics or qualities of childhood. The ending "-ish," often has unfavorable connotations. Therefore, childish refers to characteristics that are often undesirable and unpleasant, such as selfishness, or outbursts of tempers, or being self-centered. On the other hand, the ending "-like," childlike, has pleasing or neutral connotations. Childlike, therefore, refers to characteristics that are desirable and in some cases even admirable. Such qualities as having childlike innocence, trust, or even obedience. And I want to use these two adjectives, childish and childlike, as a backdrop for today's message in which Jesus admonishes childish behavior and applauds childlike behavior. Amen? Let's turn our attention to the Word of God. Verse 1 says, at this particular time, Jesus' disciples came to him with a question. And the question was, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Just like they were then, so are we today. Today, everybody wants to know who the GOAT is. Who's the greatest of all time? Is it Kobe? Is it Jordan? Is it Tom Brady? Here in Philly, is it Julius Erving or is it AI? We are all obsessed with knowing who the greatest is. Not only do we want to know who the greatest is, oftentimes we want to throw our own name in the ring. Doesn't matter whether it's the greatest at cooking, the greatest at singing, the greatest at shouting, the greatest at cutting hair. It doesn't matter. We are always interested and oftentimes consumed by who's the best. Just like little boys out running and racing, all of them want to be what? The first in line. Look, we're all going to the same math class. Half of you didn't do your homework, so why you want to get there first, I don't know. But the boys, it don't matter. They're all standing there at the edge fighting to be first in line. Touch your neighbor and say, we're born that way. We're born that way. It's the fallen condition of the human soul. We all want to be, in some ways, like God. We want to be the greatest. Jesus now receiving this question. And just if you look in your Bible at chapter 17, which is just one chapter before, chapter 17 at the very beginning records the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ, it involves that Jesus took three of his disciples, namely Peter, James, and John, and he took them up onto a high mountain, and he allowed these guys to see him physically change before their eyes. Not only was his countenance made bright, not only was the aura of God shining around him, but if you read the text, you'll find that also Moses and Elijah, dead prophets, appeared up on this mountain. Not only did they appear, but they stood there talking with Jesus. So one, you've got a guy who you just had lunch with, all of a sudden go up on a mountain and change before your eyes. And this wasn't no magic trick. God, the glory of God, this is what the Old Testament prophets call the Shekinah glory of God, began to descend on Jesus, and he was physically changed before their eyes. So the boys are losing their minds. Not only is Jesus changing now, folks that they have read about all of their lives through the Jewish school system and in the Jewish temple, now Moses and Elijah appear before their eyes. Look at your neighbor and say, oh my God, what in the world is going on? And you can read the rest of the story, and Peter, being Peter, jumps out. Oh, we need to shut up, Peter. Just bow your head and don't say nothing. Aren't you amazed how many times folks just say something and just ruin everything? If you just stood there with your mouth closed, everything would have been better. But Peter got to say, oh, let's make God get out of here. But I want to point that out because that just happened one chapter ago. Now, here we are one chapter later. Some theologians believe that this may have been just a short while later, maybe 1 or 2 days later. And I say all that to say I understand the question. Because when he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he didn't take the 12. How many know he had 12 disciples? Didn't take the 12. How many know that his church was larger than that? That at one point he actually sent out 70 members of his church, 2 by 2, to witness and evangelize, but he didn't take the 70. How many know preceding this, at one point he fed over 5,000 people, but he didn't take the 5,000 up on the mountain? For some reason, he had chose these three guys, and so now all of the other guys are asking, now that they done come down, and they done told everybody what they saw, and who was there, and how they was chest bumping Elijah. That was a joke, y'all. Everybody chest bump? Y'all not watching the NBA? All right. All right, I'm in the wrong church. Okay, let me get back to my regular church. And so these guys now come to Jesus and say, Jesus, tell us who's going to be the greatest. Is it going to be Peter, James, and John? Or do us other guys, do we have a shot? Jesus had many women involved in his ministry. I'm sure the women, though not as crazy as the guys, the women were probably like, well, what? How'd they get to go? Isn't it not equal rights? Can we get one sister up on the mountain? Now that's a cue for all the sisters to say amen. But I'm in the wrong church. I really, I'll get back to the right church eventually. And so they asked, who is the greatest? This question is indicative of their behavior all the while before Christ died. Because this behavior is what is called childish behavior. All they were concerned about is who's the greatest. Who's going to be the most important in your church? Who's going to have the place of honor? Okay, Jesus, we're cool with you being the pastor, but who's going to be the assistant pastor? Who's going to be the youth? Who's going to be able, when you stand, to stand next to you? That's what they wanted to know. Jesus, master teacher that he is, he does not respond to the question. They had asked him a verbal question. He doesn't respond verbally. But the text said he calls a little boy. It says a little child, maybe been boy or girl. But a little child, he said, calls the little child over. The little child comes obediently, comes to Jesus. And the text said he took the child and he put him right next to him. You follow that? This is in your Bible. He puts him right. He puts the child in the very place the disciples wanted. Are you with me on this? Now, if you were here last week, I preached a sermon about the paralytic man, and I noted that how when the paralytic man came to hear Jesus preach, the text, Luke tells us that he couldn't even get in the house. The four guys carrying him on the bed, they went to go through the front door, couldn't get in. They carried him around to the back door, couldn't get in. So desperate to get in front of Jesus that they actually climbed up on a roof, hoisted him up, then cut through the man's house and lowered their friend into the presence of Jesus. Now, if a paralyzed guy is that far back, you can only imagine where the kids are. Right? They're not up front. They're not getting any reserved seating. They're nowhere close to Jesus because, especially in Jewish culture at that time, children were considered lower on the totem pole. Do you follow what I'm saying? So now this young boy now has a place of honor next to Jesus. So the paralytic man couldn't get to Jesus. And here's something else drawn out of the Old Testament. If you remember the story of Esther, when Esther makes up her mind to go see the king who is her husband, she does it at the risk of her own life. Because ancient culture tells us that in kings of the East, no one could come to the king without his permission. The king was constantly surrounded by his guard so that if anyone would approach him, look this, they would kill and ask questions later. They kill you and then they say, hey, why are you here? You look, y'all missing all. No more jokes for this crowd because y'all the unfried. We're the 9 a.m. service. Maybe that's what I... So you have that. If you remember that, that's how it was. But luckily for Esther, the king extended his scepter, and they allowed her to approach, and she was able to bring about a great victory for her people. Even if we come out of biblical times and come into contemporary times, we see it all over our television how men, presidents, CEOs, elected officials, they're always surrounded by important people, and no one is allowed just to run up on them. You just don't go up to the press. I was watching when the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I was trying to look out for the parade. I don't know if you noticed it, but on the day of the parade, they had a guy bust through the barricades trying to get into the parade, and they had to stop him. It was just a parade, but still, you just couldn't run up on the parade. You follow what I'm saying? You just don't go running up on people of importance or significance. Do you follow what I'm saying? Neither Peter, James, or John, neither the Pharisees or the Sadducees, none of them could come and get this position of honor because Jesus had reserved it for the little child. And he reserved it for the little child not because he was deserving, not because he was equally as important as Jesus. The little child had nothing to his benefit, nothing to his credit, but yet Jesus esteemed him higher than everyone else who was at church that day. Are you with me? And here's why he did it. Now verse 3, now Jesus finally talks. After giving them a visual demonstration, he now gives them an audible message. He said, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. They wanted to know who would be the greatest. Jesus said, what you really should be asking, how many of you are going to make it? Read the text. They wanted to know who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, wait a minute. The question you should really ask is how many of us are really going to make it at all? Right? And he said, here's the thing that's stopping you guys. First, you got to realize that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, first, you must be converted. To be converted simply means to be changed. To be changed, to go from having faith in yourself to now having faith in Jesus Christ. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to be converted. And then the notice in your Bible, it says, you not only must you be converted, but then it says, and. It does not say, or. And is a mathematical term, meaning both sides of the equation have to be true in order for the whole thing to be true. If it's an or, it means either side can be true. But with and, they both. So not only do you have to be converted, but then you must become as little children. Right? You see that in your text? Because without that, there's no way you can enter in. First, you must be converted. Second, you must turn away from your preoccupation with status, position, who's the greatest, and you must learn to humble yourself like this little child has done today and demonstrate that you are completely dependent on Christ himself. The 131st Psalm says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, meaning proud, nor are my eyes lofty, meaning arrogant. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too proud for me. The psalmist is saying, God, I don't need to know everything. I'm comfortable loving you right where I am. People believe I can't do nothing unless I get on the stage. Once I get on the stage, then I'm really going to do it. Then I'm really going to turn up for Jesus. No, you turn up for Jesus right where you are. You turn up for Jesus. If you're just a single mother, you turn up for Jesus. You turn up for Jesus. If you're a father raising two boys on your own, you turn up for Jesus. You turn up for Jesus on your job. If you're the only Christian in the whole company, you turn up for Jesus. Wow, I'm comfortable loving God right where I am. I don't need a pulpit to do it. I don't need a mic in my hand to do it. All I need is the Word of God down in my heart, changing me away from my old self and more into my new self, which is in the image of God, and I'm satisfied loving God where I am. Ask your neighbor and say, can you love him where you are? Here it is. To be converted and become like little children. But if you cannot become as little children, it may be a sign that you have never been converted. Why? All because he said what? And. Because if you are converted and the love of God is poured out in your heart, then that love is going to come out of you. And how many of us realize that little children love honestly? Little children just love because that's the way they're built. It is only after we get older and get contaminated by society, get contaminated by other people's issues, other people's problems, then we start getting funny with our love. Are you with me on this? But little children, they love anybody. That's why as parents, we always got to tell our kids, don't talk to strangers. Why? Because little kids do. Don't go with anyone who offers your kid. Why? Because look, why? Because they love honestly. They love openly. You know what I'm saying? There's no filters to how they love. Do you follow what I'm saying? Jesus said you got to become like this. Here it is, verse 4. Here it is. Here's his whole message. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is in fact the greatest in the kingdom. Later in Matthew chapter 23 verses 11 says, but he who is the greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is example of childlike behavior, right? Because the little children, they get in the house, they get what? They get all the work. Get all the work. Lord, no, especially as I'm getting older, they got to do more. Because I'm tired half the time. You take the trash out. You clean. You whatever your mom say, just do it so I can stay here on the couch. All right, that's the last joke. I'm not doing it because y'all not laughing at nothing. Now, so he says, this is how you do it. This is who the greatest is. You want to know who the greatest? The greatest among you is the least among you. The greatest among you is the one that humbles themselves the most. The greatest among you is the one that's willing to serve others the most. My question for the church, it is that you. Are you demonstrating childlike attitudes born out of Christ? Or are you still in your old ways, your old flesh, and more childish in your acting? Do you follow what I'm saying? Jesus said, if I'm going to build my church, and if I'm going to build Christian families, I need people in it who are more inclined to have child-like behavior versus child-ish behavior. And he told the boys, I'm really telling you this, because if you're not child-like in your faith, in your attitude, and in your manner towards one another, he said, you'll no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ask your neighbor, are you sure you're getting in? The only way to be sure, you got to be converted. And then you got to humble yourself. I'll do it. Not just the jobs that have the light on it. But I'll do the stuff that has no light on it. I'll do the stuff that no one knows is being done. I'll do the stuff that no one else wants to do. Why? Because like a child, I'm just happy to be in the gang. I'm just happy to be going on the trip. I'll do whatever it takes. Why? Not because I want to be the greatest, but because I have the greatest amount of love for God in my heart. Are you with me on this? And then here it is. So you got to humble yourself. He said, here's the ticket. You got to humble yourself. Now here's verse 5. And we're already at the end of the sermon, but listen what verse 5 says. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Now Jesus adds to his answer and to the understanding of his disciples and say, not only must they become like little children, meaning childlike in their faith and walk, but they also must receive others who believe in Jesus. So it's not enough for you to humble yourself unto God. But then you must also humble yourself to each other. Do you follow what I'm saying? The Bible says this, in the voice of God. He said, how can you love God who you cannot see, but yet hate your brother who's flesh and blood standing right next to you? But we, I'm telling you, we are more prone to love God. Anybody know why we love God more than we love other people? Anybody know why we love God more? I'm going to tell you why. Because he's invisible. It is easy to love the invisible man. Why? Why? Because invisible people don't what? Talk back. Visible people, watch this, hear me in the church, don't suck their teeth. Invisible people don't walk away while you're talking. Watch this. They might, but you don't know it. You find, that's why everybody loves God. Right? Because you don't get any reaction. Lord, I love you. He don't say nothing back. So you make up what he says back. Oh, I love you too, Jonathan. Oh, yeah. Because he's invisible, you project onto him the kind of person you want to love. But when you come to my house and you walk inside my door, and now I don't respond to you the way you want me to. I don't react to the way you want me to react. My breath is smelling bad. I'm not looking my best. But yet God calls you to love me even as you would love God himself. Do you follow what I'm saying? So he puts a double bogey on this entrance into heaven. It's not enough to humble yourself unto God and become childlike. Now you got to humble yourself unto him and become childlike. Now I don't get an option of choosing to serve an invisible God. Now I have to serve a visible brother or sister. Who among you is the greatest? And so as we celebrate the life, Preston, we celebrate the life of Roland, who is now asleep. He's fallen asleep on every message I've preached this year. But I'm going to outlast him. You watch. He's going to wake up and I'm still going to be gone. I'm like, but as we honor these young men, it's more of a reminder for us to become like these young men. And even though age and time may separate us or put us at a distance, I'm going to say this. They are closer to heaven than any of us. And look, you can't get mad at me. Why? That's in the Word of God. This is in your Bible. You just read it. He said, this child, what? Gets the place of honor. This child, because of their childlike faith. This child, because of their born humility. This child, who was comfortable being in the back of the whole thing, now comes and receives a place in the presence of Jesus. The message for the church. Are you demonstrating childish or childlike behavior? Are you with me? If you're with me, say, I got it. Here it is. I'm finished. Here's the big closeout. Here we go. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, and that is that ye love one another, not as the world loves, but as I love you. So anytime you discourage, disrespect, disdain, or disparage another believer, that is childish behavior. But anytime you reverence, regard, respect, and repent of your offenses to another believer, that is childlike behavior. Are you with me on this? And might I remind you of the words of the great apostle who said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I not only spoke as a child, but I understood as a child. And I even thought like a child. But the man of God says, but when I became a man, What did you do, Paul? I put away childish things. Touch your neighbor and say, put it away. Why do I gotta put it away? Because I'm in danger of missing the train to heaven. If I keep acting childish, I'm in danger of never seeing the face of God. If I keep acting childish, I'm in danger of going not up but down. So I'm going to pay attention to what Paul says. And it's time for me to put away childish things. It's time for me to stop worrying about who's going to be great, who's going to be important. But now I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. And whatever God requires, that's what I'll do. Whoever God wants me to love, that's who I'm going to love. Whoever God sends in the church, that's who I'm going to embrace. Whoever God calls us to cross my path, that's who I'm going to show the love of God. Why? Because I'm tired of being childish. I'm tired of doing childish things. It's time. It's time. Touch your neighbor and say, it's time to put away childish things. It's time for the church to grow up. Somebody say, let the church grow up. Let us become the children of God. Let us become men and women of the Most High. It's time. It's time. Put it away. Get it out of your spirit. Get it out of your mind. Touch five people and tell them, I love you just the way you are. I love you. I love you. I love you. I thank God for you. Just the way you are. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Our praise and our worship means nothing if we never humble ourselves and become like little children. We have the greatest testimonies living and walking among us each and every day. Instead of looking over them, discouraging them, ushering them to the back, now is the time that we suffer the little children. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Why? For such is the kingdom of God. Shall we all stand? Pastor, got the message. Pastor, thanks for not preaching until Roland woke up. It looks like he's going to sleep until 2 o'clock. It's time for his midday nap. But you know what I hear in my spirit? Oh, what's wrong with that? I'm glad I didn't step on it. I ate a big breakfast this morning. Look. You know what I hear people saying? Pastor, I got the message. Here's my issue, Pastor. How do I do it? Pastor, I hate to say this. I'm more prone. I'm 51 years old. I turned 51 last Wednesday. Stop. But I'm more prone in my 50s to act more childish now than I ever have in my life. Pastor, how do I do it? I got you. I got the word. I got it. But now, how do I do it? I'm going to offer you some tips. The first thing you got to do is what the Word of God says. You got to be converted. I remind my church every Sunday, not everybody in church believes in Jesus Christ. Some are coming because it's a special service. Some are coming because they come once a month and this is their one Sunday to come. Plus the NFL is off season right now, so it's a good time for me to come. None of the fellas supported me on that, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Not everybody in church believes in Jesus. But if you want to have childlike behavior, it's the first step. You've got to extend your hand to Him. And this is what you've got to say to Jesus. I want to be more like you than myself. Hard step to take because most people are in love with them. They want to know, why don't you want to be more like them? It's the first step. After you give your life to Christ, here's some things that can help you. One of the things you got to do, you got to give yourself to the study of the Word of God. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way to change, the only way the Holy Spirit can bring about the change is through the Word of God. You got to get that Word inside of you. Then after you get the Word of God in you, here's something else you got to do. Tough for the up and coming generation. You've got to commit yourself to a life of prayer. Remember how I was admonishing the grandparents? Talk to your grandchildren, grandsons, granddaughters. You know what my grandmother used to tell me? Both of my grandmothers. They didn't tell me how it was hard. Both of them grew up in a depression. They didn't tell me about the depression. They didn't tell me about the way things used to be. You know what they used to talk to me about? Prayer. If I can remember 10 things, 8 of them were about prayer. They would tell me how when times were hard, they prayed. They would tell me when I gave birth to your father, he almost died, but I prayed. When we first moved up out of the south, up north, our fathers didn't have jobs. Our grandfathers didn't have jobs. And we didn't complain. You know what we did? We prayed. And they began to lay a foundation in my life that the real key to success, much can be accomplished through much prayer. You commit to the Word of God. You commit to a life of prayer. Jesus told his boys on another occasion, they said, Lord, we went to cast out devils and they wouldn't go. Why didn't it work for us like it worked for you? He tells his boys, he says, some things only come through prayer and fasting. We live in a generation where fasting is a curse word. How dare you ask me to give up anything? Not as hard as I work. Not as hard as I get it in Monday through Friday. How dare you or any God ask me to give anything up? And all I'm here to tell you is, if you want to have childlike behavior, you got to learn how to give some stuff up. How many know some stuff is not good for you? Some stuff does not promote your spiritual growth and development. And you got to be like Paul and say, you know what? Enough is enough. I got to give some of this stuff up. Why? Because I'm in danger of missing heaven. And if all you ever want to do is just come to church and be a happy-go-lucky church person, great, don't change. You don't have to change. Be just the way you are. But if your heart's desire is really to see the face of God in peace, hate to say it, you're going to have to change up some stuff. These guys were hand-picked by Jesus. And he said, even that doesn't matter. Because if you don't change and become more like me, when you stand before my Father in heaven, I'm going to have to tell him, I don't know you. I don't recognize you. You don't look like I look. Pastor, how do I do it? How do I love my wife like God says? How do I love my husband the way God says? How do I love my children and raise them the way God has instructed? I can't do it. I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit, that's God. God lives inside of you. And anything God tells you to do, he gives you the power to do it. If you're here this Sunday, and you're not able to get yourself to live like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to talk, to love the way Jesus does, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. The little time we have left in the service, if you're willing to come, I want to pray with you. I want to encourage your faith. He told Peter, he said, the devil desires to sift you like wheat. You know what he said? But I prayed for you. That's what I want to do. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. That what? The love of God would be born in your heart. That the love of God would come out of your heart and come out of your hands and out of your feet and out of your mouth. And that we would be day by day changed more into the image of Christ and less to the image of ourselves. If you're here, will you come? The altar of the Lord is open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. This is why I came to church. Because I need more of Jesus. This is why I came. Hey, I love Roland and I love Preston, but they're not the reason I came. I came because I need Jesus. I need a double portion of His Spirit. I need more of the Spirit of the Lord poured out into my soul. I notice instead of getting better, I'm getting bitter. Instead of becoming happier, I'm becoming hateful. What is wrong with me? Why isn't this working for me? Jesus said, come. Come, cast all of your cares, all of your burden, all of your problems. Jesus said, put it on me. He said, I'll carry it. I'll bear it. I'll get it off of you. I'll get it out of your spirit. I'll get it out of your heart. I'll get it out of your mind. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. You're here today and you desire the rest of God. It's what the Bible calls the Sabbath rest. If you're living a life and every day you're always on edge, you're always on the go, you never have any peace, you never have any solace, you never have any silence, all around you is just the noise, won't you come to Jesus? This is why we preach the gospel, so that you would come. Not to hear the pastor, not to hear the preacher, but come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Cast all of your cares on Him. Lord, help me to become like a little child. Give me childlike faith. Give me childlike love. Give me a childlike heart. Give me a heart like thine. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want to live like you. I want to be like you. Lord, help me to be an example for Roland. Help me to be an example for Preston. How can I do it? I never had an example myself. How can I live for you and I don't know how? He said, come unto Jesus.
He'll show you how. Come unto Jesus. Try Him right now. The altar of the Lord is open. Would you come? Would you come and just tell the Lord, here am I, Lord. It's not my mother, it's not my father, but it's me, oh Lord. And I'm standing in the need of prayer. I've never needed you more than like I need you now. Here am I. I lift my hands to you. I lift my heart to you. I don't want to miss going to heaven. I don't want to die in my sins. I don't want to die without a God on my side. I don't want to die without the blood of Jesus being applied to my heart. I got the message, Pastor. I got the message, Jesus. I'm here because I want to humble myself. I'm here because I need you more than you need me. So I come. So I come. So I come. If you're standing in the church, I'm going to invite you to begin to pray with me. Pray for those that are here at the altar. Those that by courage, those that by determination, have considered it more important to go after Jesus while they can. Come on, church, pray everywhere. Come on, church, pray everybody. How many times do you wish somebody would have prayed for you? Wish somebody would have had you on their mind and took the time and just prayed for you. I could have made it if somebody would have prayed. I would have made it if somebody would have prayed for me. Lifted up my name. Lifted up my family. Lifted up my marriage. Lift up my children. I need your help. That's why I'm here, Lord. That's why I've come. I need you more than you need me. Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Here am I, Lord. Save me. Save me. Give me childlike faith. Give me childlike obedience. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. My faith. My issues, my struggle. Help me, Lord. Help me to seek your face forevermore. I want to make it in. That's what I want. I want to make it to heaven. I want to see your face. I want to believe in your name. That's why I'm come. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. This is why we come, church. This is the high point of the service. This is where our humanity meets God's divinity. This is where we meet in Christ, God and man. What I can't do, God can. What I won't do, the Holy Spirit will. Give me childlike faith, childlike obedience, childlike confidence in a God I cannot see. Let God do it. That's what I want. I'm going to let God do it. Tired of trying to do it myself. This point in my life, I'm going to turn it over to God. And I'm going to let God do it. I'm going to let God handle it. Yeah, yoke's being broken. Yes. 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 Yeah, it's time to praise the Lord. Yeah, it's time. It's time, it's time, it's time to turn up for Jesus. It's time to open our mouths. It's time to lift our hands. It's time for us to give the Lord a praise. Yeah, it's time to worship Him. Hallelujah, in His temple. Yes. 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 Go ahead. Let's pick it up. Let's pick it up. It's time to go out rejoicing. Yes. It's time to go out giving God the praise. Yes. Yes. Now that I've been converted. Now that I've been changed. Yeah, I'm going to go out rejoicing now. Hallelujah. In the God of my salvation, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Yes, I'm going to give the Lord a praise. I'm going to give the Lord a praise. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for who you've been. Now, I'm going to give you the glory. Now, I'm going to give you the praise. Give the Lord a praise. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. God bless you. You may be seated all over the church. Yes, Lord, I thank you for it. Yeah, I thank you for it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, let God do it. Yeah, let God do it. Yes. 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 Yeah, I'm going to let the Lord do it. This stage in my life. This stage of my walk with Him. Yeah, I'm going to let the Lord do it. That I can become more like Him. That's what I want. That's what I need. Give me childlike faith. Help me to trust you more. That's what I want. That's what I want to be. Childlike faith. Childlike obedience. That's what He wants. Yeah. Yes.
Thank God for the time of prayer. Because if anyone can change us, God can. God can. To Taylor and to all of my guests, thank you so much for your attention to the Word of God. Thanks so much for your being here with us today. At this point, we are going to raise an offering. After the offering, we'll have the benediction to our service. We are going to have the young guys come up, so for any of us wanting pictures or things of that nature, we'll do that in the receiving line. Amen. But at this time, we're going to ask for our service to come, that they might help us. They'll give you instructions on how we're going to give. The ushers are coming for envelopes if you desire, and envelopes for your giving today. Simply raise your hand. Amen. I'm going to get these plates. Those that are standing for the offering, I'm going to invite you to come now. Again, those needing an offering envelope, Tom, can you bring me my offering? I believe it's there on my desk. God bless you. For our giving, we do put it in an envelope, so if you like an envelope, feel free to have one.